One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, load of the waste of Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome back to another exciting adventure of Saturday Morning Apocalypse, Batman, the Animated Series. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by Ruler of the Wasteland and Morton Hoof.
Hello.
And sitting with us for the first time after I don't know how many episodes we've done, it's surprising they haven't wanted to join us before now. It's almost as if Street Sharks was a bad series of episodes and they didn't want to be on that. Interesting. My friends, Ryan Caldwell.
Hey, guys.
And Michael Waldhouse.
Happy to be here.
I'm glad you were able to put aside your distrust of a Morton Hoof, Mike, to join us on this series of episodes.
Well, as long as we're talking about cartoons, his blood seems to be at a non-boiling point. So let's just keep talking about some tunes.
Yeah, some common ground, you know?
And we are starting this one. This is Ryan's pick. Season 1, Episode 8, The Forgotten. And it's interesting, this was my alternate choice. My pick was, if you remember, was Beware the Grey Ghost. But The Forgotten was my alternate. And I'm so glad. Well, it's interesting. So, Ryan, why don't you explain what your original choice would have been?
Well, I'm not sure. The reason why I picked this is that it kind of caught me off guard rewatching through a lot of the episodes recently. And this probably would have been one I wouldn't have liked as a kid, if that makes sense.
No, I get it.
I would have been like, when are they going to get to Batman? When are they going to get to the factory? But so while you're watching it, I was like, I didn't even remember this episode at all. Like, it was almost like came out of nowhere. I'm like, where the hell did this come from? And it's so weird. And so that's kind of why. And I don't know what my other option would have been. I've been kind of trying to watch them through a little bit recently.
Did you guys do Beware the Grey Ghost yet? I'm like, yeah.
Well, I thought, the thing is, I was asking, I was just like, maybe I should catch up, watch that one too. I didn't know if we were recording that episode as well, because I knew you liked that episode. That's kind of why I was asking. But there's a lot of, there's so many good episodes, and lately watching the show, something I've noticed about them is that these episodes are almost too short. And they can all be feature-length movies in a weird way. Like, there's so much concept happening in a lot of these episodes that they could be a lot longer. And it's kind of cool. There's a lot of those two-parters that actually kind of make a full-on long story. That's the best compliment, I guess you can say, is you want more from these episodes.
Well, Dave and I, we've watched, technically three episodes, but two recordings. So we did the Beware the Grey Ghost, and we did the Clayface two-parter. Mm. And we talked about this as well, that these episodes are very – a lot of them are pretty ambitious. And they're almost like kind of pushing the scope of within their own episode. And so it's the same thing with Grey Ghost. Like, there's a lot of fleshing out that could have been done. And it's not a negative to the episode at all. I think it's more of a compliment. Like, these episodes
fit all
are
that
so
in there.
Yeah, they're really mature, too, and, like, I don't think I've ever seen this episode, The Forgotten, and this might actually be my favorite so far of the ones that we've rewatched and the ones that are in my memory, because it's it's such an in-depth story, and there's actually, like, tonally, there's a lot of, like, powerful messages here that are very nuanced, I think. So
I
love this episode.
I feel like this iteration of Batman for the Batman animated series is the most, at least the Batmans I've seen, it's the most civic-minded Bruce Wayne and Batman. Mm. And there's like a lot of like, I don't know, like the Batman animated series, it almost reminds me of like watching like Obama or something, where he's like always like, you know, at the end of it he's always like, you know what you should do though is you should like volunteer at your local soup kitchen and like get involved in your community. And I feel like there's like a message in this show,
but also he punches motherfuckers in the face.
Yeah, but he's not gonna shoot him. He's not gonna shoot him in the face. He's going to punch him in the face and then delicately, like, catch them before they catch the ground, you know. And
well, it could be said that in this episode he does let several people die in a horrific explosion, but we'll get to that.
Oh,
later.
My God. Yeah, the implications of that explosion.
Weren't these,
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Aren't these basically, like, slave owners, though? Like,
that's a good point, but we'll get to that.
In any event, that like, I think that's something that this this show has, and this iteration of Batman is like, get involved in your community, and they're sort of like a Bruce Wayne is like, he's not just being Batman to help the city, he's doing other stuff, and I think The Forgotten, it like really gets into that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that this is my favorite episode. I just figured it'd be an interesting one to talk about because Batman is not in this episode till the last act, really, of the episode, yeah. The whole thing, you know. And I think that was just like, that caught me off guard when I had the, I was in the back of the store watching these, you know, by myself, you know, just kind of hanging out in the room, eating the, you know, the snacks back there. I'm sorry, David, but
as you do,
but I was kind of like, doing other things, you know, playing games and stuff while I was watching it. And then this one though came on and I'm like, I don't remember this episode. And I feel like it might've been one that didn't get replayed a lot, if that makes sense. Cause you know,
well,
I watched these reruns.
Yeah. I mean, because like you said, if you were a kid, you probably wouldn't like, where's Batman?
Soup kitchens.
Homeless people.
Yeah, like I just like was like, it was one that didn't register with me. And it's a weird tonal, too, because this episode, in a way, weird way, feels like a weird 70s exploitation movie as well.
Well, it's Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a...
No, Mike, you're doing it wrong. It's wah, 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 wah. See, and that's why I remember this episode, that music. Let's talk about that. To me, aside from the themes of the episode, and there's more we can delve into with that stuff, like, to me, the key definer of this episode and the reason I remember it so well is the music, specifically that harmonica, that harmonica riff, wah, 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 wah. Like that is just seared into my memory. This episode, yeah.
It's striking because like most of this show is all like the series again, not this episode is like orchestral, and then all of a sudden you have this like harmonica come in. It is like a tonal shift, I think, and it's really like. It's kind of like that exploitative vibe, I think, of like, well, yes. Working down on the docks. Like.
Well, there's a moment in the episode when I think they use the music. They know that the music is like funny. It's like a funny sounding riff because right before they go into that commercial break cliffhanger moment where it's like, he's heading into Box Canyon. There's no way out or something. Cut to black. And then you fade in, it's like with the harmonica. I swear, they know that it's funny and they just amp it up and it's pitch perfect. I fucking love it. But yeah, as I said, this is basically a Cool Hand Luke meets Batman episode. And I love that they do this. Like this, I think it shows a lot of confidence. I think it shows the confidence that the writers of this show had that they could do this one-off episode that deals with the homeless, Batman getting the tips
in the desert.
In the desert, it's like, where are they? It's like, they're just in the desert with these mountains. And just the idea of, yeah, just like you said, like volunteering in soup kitchens and stuff like that. And,
it's human trafficking.
Human trafficking. It's crazy that and this is something I actually kind of miss about TV shows of the olden times is that you could be episodic like this. You could stop everything and just have an episode where Bruce Wayne gets hit over the head, gets amnesia, and then wakes up in fucking like Cool Hand Luke. I love it. To me, it shows a level of confidence, like that they can do this little side adventure. And I personally, I think I even loved it as a kid. Again, the music was a big factor, but it's just, it's just.
You were into like westerns and stuff, though.
That's
like,
true.
I was kinda,
yeah,
like,
so
this wasn't really my vibe.
Delves into that vibe a bit, but
I may have not have seen this until recently. I do not remember it at all. Like it was a weird thing, like. Because, I mean, this, like, I guess the premise of it is that, like, Bruce Wayne is hanging out in, I'm guessing, a soup kitchen that he volunteers or donates to for, like, the homeless.
He volunteers. He's, like, peeling potatoes.
Yeah.
He's
so,
doing work.
It's
he's like Obama, you know, right, Mike?
You won't see Batfleck.
Just like Obama.
Just like Obama.
And yeah, he and the guy running it's like, yeah, there's these guys going missing, these homeless guys. And so instead of going Batman, Bruce Wayne like dresses up as a homeless guy to like see if he can get kidnapped, basically.
He drives like, around hoping to get kidnapped.
I love that's basically I really the story. Like his we see him when he hatches this plan before he goes out to try and get kidnapped. He's like, you see him like open his closet of like hobo costumes.
So he probably does this a lot, to be honest.
He dyes his hair white and like tussles it, and then like gets a little 5 o'clock shadow. And, like his.
How come we don't see that in any of the movies? Like any kind of weird shit like this. Like this.
Because Batman's not a detective in the movies. It's not that's very one thing twisted. He never got.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm like, this is like the what, ninth episode of the show or eighth or something?
It's episode 8 of season 1. Like I said, it shows a level of confidence or just like that maybe they did the episodes like you know, not in the order they maybe intended, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead to our next episode, but I listened to the commentary on the Almost Got Him. There was no commentary on this episode.
But it was forgotten.
Yeah. But they talked about that they were kind of making us all up on the seat. They're all young, these guys.
Yeah.
And just seeing what they can get away with and didn't know what they were doing. And I don't think they were confident. They were just like, we're going to just see if we can get away with this.
I could see, like, because there's elements of this episode that are very, like, every TV show has this episode kind of thing. Like, I could see the pitch meeting of, like, yeah, what if he gets amnesia? Like, okay, well, how could he get amnesia? Yeah. Like, how does that work? And, like, maybe he's like undercover, like trying to get captured or something. I don't know. Like I could see where that comes from, but it feels fresh. Like it takes a lot of these elements that like maybe like Cool Hand Luke and the classic TV show where the protagonist gets amnesia, but it's done in a, it does it all so well.
I think one of the things, the reasons that this episode stands out in terms of its kind of the behind the scenes, like what made them do this episode is because it's extra unexpected in a Batman show. Like you could have other shows where it might make more sense where this could happen, but it's like, what the heck? Yeah. Batman is not Batman. He's in the desert, a slave, mining in the coal mine. Like it's just you wouldn't expect this in a Batman show, and to not have Batman in the for a long time.
Yeah. And he's basically, and then there's these crazy, and this is kind of jumping ahead too, but he has these dreams, like kind of memory, his psyche,
as
you know,
his,
kind
as
of trying to break through.
Coming
and it's
back.
Fucking nightmares.
Oh, remember there's like the one where he's like walking down the street and like a homeless person comes up asking for money and he gives him like money and then
he's
someone
like
else.
Able to
and then someone
money.
Else and someone else and he's like, I can't save everyone. And he's like drowning by like
that's
the.
That's a great scene.
That shit's crazy. Yeah, he like he sees himself laughing in a mirror, and the Joker just like grabs him through the mirror and pulls him through.
Well, no, like it's Bruce Wayne laughing at him, and then he like morphs into the Joker, pulls him through the mirror, and they like and then suddenly they're falling from like from the top of the skyscape, the cityscape. It's nuts.
It's so nuts.
I love that because it's like it's touching really, really briefly on the nuance of the Batman character, like, you know, what is Joker not the same person, but is that part of Batman's identity? And it's like it doesn't get addressed at all in the episode, but I think I love that because it's like taking for granted like who Batman is. Like this is, you know, everybody knows the story, so let's just, you know, take all the resources that we have and combine it and let's put it on the screen. Like you know this. We don't
Like a smart version of the same idea would have been his dreams are just like, hey, beat by beat kind of origin story or flashbacks to stuff Batman did. But this does it in like a really interesting, thoughtful way, for sure.
Dave, I was gonna ask you this. Is this like the first episode in the series, at least I know they probably aired out of order and stuff a lot of the times with these shows, but if you're watching like the first 8, is this the first one that kind of mentions like his like kind of background with his parents and stuff like that? I mean, he doesn't really talk about it in this, but it shows his
I'm
parents.
Not sure. I would have to look, but it maybe I'm not sure.
It feels like it might be the first one that kind of dives into like the trauma of the Batman, you know, kind of thing. I could be wrong, but
is the first episode of the series not an origin story?
No.
No, in fact, the first episode is crazy. It involves Man-Bat. Yeah. It involves a scientist, like, taking the serum or whatever. Sick. I don't know what it is.
It just goes
morphs
into,
into Man-Bat. It is the craziest first.
All the action
again,
figure.
You mentioned that it's it's kind of fun that they don't bother to get into the backstory because everyone already knows the backstory. They really do that with the first episode. It's like, no, he fights like a half-human, half-bat. That's all it is. It's called On Leather Wings, and it's like the craziest first episode. It's like, listen, y'all know, it's not even him fighting the Joker. Like, the Joker doesn't come along until the second episode, Christmas with the Joker, but first episode's like, nah, we're gonna throw in Man-Bat.
Hell yeah, Man-Bat rules.
Because fuck
it. I love that toy.
But looking at the episodes here, I think maybe this is kind of the first one. If I remember right, the third episode is called Nothing to Fear with Scarecrow. And there's a moment where, like, he gets fear gassed or whatever, and he starts having hallucinations where his dad is, like, disappointed with him. But that doesn't really, like, address his parents getting murdered. So I think you might be right. This might be the first one that kind of touched on his origin a little bit.
A little bit,
there, yeah. There was another interesting detail with him remembering his origin that – this show like kind of carries on, I think, where the show plays it, I think, where Bruce Wayne is like the fake thing and Batman is like what he really is, you know,
his real
yeah
self,
and I mean, like, one of the subtle things the show does, as far as I can remember, it does this, is when Bruce Wayne is not Batman, he's not like in costume or anything, but he's in private, like it's just him or Alfred, he'll talk like Batman, like that's like his normal voice. But Bruce Wayne is like his fake is like, oh, I'm like a trusting kind of dumb rich guy. And there's in this moment, episode, when he remembers, like when he finally like remembers who he is, he like starts talking like Batman.
Riley, we're getting out of here.
That was cool.
We're getting
like in that, yeah, in those boxes
and stuff like that. So one thing that I really love about this show is that at least it seems like at least once per episode, there's at least one shining animation moment that's super memorable. And I mean, the animation is, we've gushed about the animation in the previous episodes, but so it's always really good. But there are some like outstanding shots and stuff like that. And in the final flashback,
they spend more time on or
there's,
something.
I know exactly what you're thinking of, Nick. It's the moment where we see the inside of the big guy's mouth as he's
I mean,
sub.
I was like, whoa, can I get that frame? That turkey leg just looks so delicious. I was just like, oh my God, I'm so hungry.
I've never seen such lazy scum. Now that was real funny. Driving the bar.
But no, there's a shot at the on the if I remember correctly, it's the last flashback or dream sequence or whatever it is, and it leads up to Batman like on the silhouette of Batman on the rooftop, and it's like, oh, that's who I am, and it just looks badass. Like, it's just very memorable.
And then isn't it like a end with like a close up of Batman, and then it like cuts to Bruce Wayne doing like the same. Expression
it's
kind of
so
thing.
So artistic, you know. So I just love that. Like, I love the moments like that where it's just like, you know, in, you know, months from now, I won't remember every detail of the episode, but I'll for sure remember that shot and like that one. I just love that.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, this is jumping ahead to the next one, but like, I never really listened to a commentary for like an animated show like this, and it's really interesting, kind of listening to just. You know, which shots they were able to kind of spend more time on and really work, and like who was storyboarding that at the time, and all this kind of like what they could try to get away with and what they couldn't do and what they did instead. It's really interesting hearing all that kind of stuff. But it's like that a lot where like certain shots could spend more time on or to like get the shadows really nice and stuff. And it's kind of cool with whatever budget you have or whatever. But it's pretty rad. It's a cool. It's like I said, it's not probably my favorite episode, but it's a weird, weird, different thing. Like, I don't never really seen on a show like this for sure.
I like that the bad guy in this is like so ridiculous.
Did you guys catch what his name was in the credits?
No. What was it?
His name is Boss Bigus.
Boss Bigus.
Boss Bigus.
Oh man, he is. He's like gargantuan. Like he is. He's the size of like eight people put together.
It's funny. I had to look it up after the episode was over. He's voiced by an old character actor named George Murdoch, who I looked at his credits. He had a ton of like TV credits like throughout the 60s and 80s and beyond. But for me, looking at his credits, the defining one was Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. He played God. If you remember, remember in Star Trek V, he looks like, it's like his big head. He looks like Santa, but he's God.
One voice, many faces.
I've seen Star Trek V.
Yeah, I've never seen
you're
it.
Probably better. Nick, you're probably better for not having seen it.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, that's the one where they like go to this mysterious land or something like that, and they're like,
isn't that the one that's directed by William Shatner?
It is. They go to the center of the universe because Spock's half-brother is convinced that God is there.
And God is there, and it's biggest.
It's Boss Biggest.
He has a big turkey leg.
That's the idea.
Yeah. I love. Maybe my favorite thing about this episode is the escalation of Boss Biggest's foods. God. Like, when you first he's got
Captain
he's
Kirk, give me your starship or you'll all roast.
I've never seen such lazy slobs in my life.
When you first see Boss Biggest, he's munching on a turkey leg. And then when it cuts back to him again, he's got like a full on like hoagie that he's like, it's like a loaf of bread he's eating. And then when it cuts to him again, he has like a whole like Thanksgiving dinner spread for like just him. It's like a whole chicken, mashed potatoes, biscuits, a bowl of fruit. You know, he's not touching. It's pretty good.
Get me a Diet Coke. I'm watching my weight.
I love, he's got like stains on him all the time.
He's perpetually stained.
But he's in his like suit.
Yeah, and he's got a little fan. Again, the Cool Hand Luke influence where he's constantly fanning himself.
The only detail, he's like not, he should be dabbing his forehead with like.
Yes. And they're just, if there was only a few more lines where he's just like, oh, it's good to own land. Oh. That line, and also like, get me a, what's that drink that Southern people love? So, get me a, fuck, what is it? Oh, it's like
sweet tea.
No, not a sweet tea. God damn it! It's the thing with like the mint in it, or like you
mint
ground
julep?
It up.
Get me a mint julep, or you'll roast.
I think my favorite moment of the episode is when Batman, like Bruce Wayne, like regains his memory. It's that instead of saying Martha, Riley, the guy that's in there in the slam with him, the box. He says the word family, and it jives his memory. It's the Martha moment. He remembers who he is.
and then Batman eventually comes.
Yeah, he suits up as Batman later in the episode and blows
kicks his way
blows
out of there.
Up. But my favorite moment of the episode is when Batman walks in. It's when Big Boss Biggest is having his Thanksgiving meal. He takes his shotgun, and as he does it, he goes, it's like every moment that this guy has is punctuated with a.
The voice
he's
acting
like a
is really good
animal.
For him. It almost reminds me of Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black when he like the
sugar.
Yes.
It's so like it's like just on the border of like. Yeah. Good.
But for me, it's the other element that makes this episode so memorable, because they go so over the top with this guy. It's just utterly ridiculous and just so fun to watch.
Well, what I wrote down was, it's like it's just this world with like the desert kind of mining little town, and all those characters and him all have this 80s animation vibe to them, if that makes sense. Like, they feel like they're more from an older cartoon from just like a few years before, you know, like a... Like what the Batman show would have been like if it came out in the 80s or something. Like, they're kind of like, even they're drawn differently. They're kind of like wiggly in a weird way.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
There's actually, so this episode was really, really interesting to me because they're like, it's very exploitative, like you guys said. And it's very over the top as well. And it was actually like, It was reminiscent of some of the animes that I like from the 80s that are just very over the top, like hype. Like this episode, Batman episode, it's not hyper violent, but there is I don't know, the violence in this episode kind of feels a little bit more realistic. Like the there's guns, and actually when Boss Bigas says like, oh, Riley says he's gonna die if you put him in the box, and Boss Bigas is like, that's the point. And just like pretty direct inferences to death. And so it reminded me of a lot of animes that I love. And like there's this one in particular, Fist of the North Star. And like the whole show is like this episode, basically. So it's just I definitely see what you're saying. Like this episode definitely seems like it has some pretty visual influences from a few years earlier.
Well, and plus just the idea of having our character, our main hero, in a box and just sweating and dying of heat. Like, that is pretty intense, I feel, for a cartoon.
Yeah.
He's kind of funny, though, then he, I mean, I have a couple of moments I just kind of wanted to touch on, but he is, like, the buffest dude in the world hanging out at this place. Oh, my God.
He's so wise. Like,
He's so funny compared to the other characters.
His shoulders, he's like an upside down triangle, pretty much.
Yeah. But you know, yeah, it's just kind of funny seeing him in this situation, too, because he is so much angular when everyone else is sort of a little bit more loosey. And yeah, he's so massive. He's so swollen.
Yeah, but he's got his white hair, so he's clearly not Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Well, that leads to a question I had with this episode. So as we stated, Bruce Wayne goes undercover. Batman goes undercover. He like dyes his hair white, pretends to be homeless, and tusses it up. Gets kidnapped, thrown in, figures out where they are, and Alfred comes and eventually saves him with the Batwing, which is another moment we need to address. But my question is, my question is, so once the episode's ended, and you know, Batman like destroys this whole slave labor camp and gets everyone back to Gotham and everything's fine. They realize that he's Bruce Wayne. Alfred pulls up, like, Master Bruce. He gets in. No one thinks to mention or to ask, so what was Bruce Wayne doing, like, with his hair dyed at this slave camp? Like, how did he get here?
Well, the best part is, like, he's like, if you need, like, a job, I could probably help, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, he just drives off. But it's like, it has to raise a question, like, so what were you doing there? Like, how did you get there? Why was your hair dyed white?
Well, that was the question those guys were left with at the end of the episode, you know? They were probably just like, what? Like, you
like
know?
Bruce Wayne, is he into some weird shit? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that guy is buff, that Bruce. Holy shit. Yeah, it is funny. I have a couple of little moments, I mean, unless you, a little kind of cool little things I... Unless you guys have anything else. Oh, we didn't talk about Alfred. Should we talk about that? Okay. Well, I have something I just thought was cool. Like, I'm always kind of picking out when I'm watching these, like, little interesting, like, editing things and choices. In the beginning of the episode, we're kind of following pigeons, you know, kind of flying through the city.
Oh, yeah.
And the music's really cool in that moment as it's kind of panning over Gotham. And pigeons are really, like, we're kind of in this world with... you know, homeless people and stuff. And that's kind of seems like it's a thing. You know, at least when I was a kid, like Home Alone 2 and the pigeons. I don't know. That was just like a weird connection.
And the homeless and pigeons are forever linked.
Yeah. And there's a kind of a cool moment because there's a transition with the pigeons to the bats and the bat to the bat cave, basically.
Mm.
Like it's almost like that. You kept seeing the pigeons flying across the screen. And then all of a sudden it does a transition with bats to the bat cave to like get you back to Bruce. You know, getting ready. And I thought that was just really cool, such a good artistic touch, you know, that they did with that.
That's cool.
And another thing I thought was kind of cool, this is more of a badass moment with Bruce when he's trying to, you know, he's undercover, is that he takes down these thugs with his hands in his pockets. Like, yes. He never takes his hands out. He just kind of trips them and kicks the shit out of them. And
that was very, I just finished reading the Dragon Ball manga in the back of the store, and that... I was having flashbacks to Dragon Ball during this fight where he's just like,
boop, just dodging. I was thinking Enter the Dragon where he's like, the art of fighting without fighting. So it's just moving and dodging shit.
I mean, Enter the Dragon, Dragon Ball, we're all, I mean, the same thing, right? It's all, it's all Bruce Lee.
The Last Dragon.
All the other things we touched on. The only thing we didn't touch on really was the Alfred thing where I was like, my only gripe is when Alfred is going and tracking down the cars, He doesn't. He could have maybe changed out of his like tux.
Yes, you know, that's exactly wearing. The note I had. Why is he still in his butler outfit?
Because he's Alfred.
Yeah, he's like walking around in like a junkyard.
He is on the job. He's on the clock. That's his uniform.
But now he's undercover. He needs. See, when he gets to the bat, was it a problem? Wearing, like, his sweater
did it matter? Did it ever become a hindrance?
You don't think it would be? He's going to the docks. You don't think it would look a little weird? Him in a butler outfit.
English butler.
Did the Batwing show up or not? I mean, did he get caught? Did the tux give him away?
No, you're right.
You can't argue with the results. Well,
the thing is, it's weird to have this guy. He's putting a tracking device under a car.
That was funny. That was the most like a Saturday morning cartoon moment, I feel like.
Yes.
It was almost like, oh, zoinks.
Well, yeah, he gets under the car, he puts it there, and then it drives off as he's laying down, and of course, you know, the smoke gets in his face. Like, you mentioned the 80s, that felt like a G.I. Joe moment or something. Like, that probably happened in a G.I. Joe episode.
But yeah, that's kind of the wacky moment of the episode is him flying. The Batwing, I think, is flying itself.
Oh, the Batwing is so funny, too, because he was trying to, like, land it, but, like, the onboard, like, Siri system or the Chad of the Batwing is like, we can't go down there. It's too dangerous, Alfred. And Alfred's like,
this must be the place. Bring us down.
Negative.
But Master Bruce is down here. We have to land.
Impossible. Area 2 confined.
Land, you bucket of bolts.
Your funeral.
Oh, dear. Yeah!
Which gets us into another interesting point. Why did Batman program the Batwing to give sass? Like, like your funeral. Like, why? Unless he did that. Unless it's programmed to do that to Alfred when Alfred is piloting the plane. Maybe.
Like, I think what it is, he invented an AI system for the Batwing, and then once it happened, it was like beyond his control. Like, he's lost control of this AI. So, like, it's developed its own personality.
What you're saying is he's always getting into arguments with the Batwing. Yeah.
I think that happens, yeah.
Hey, your AI is like Nick said, it's like her. They get out of hand at some point, you know, and they get to know you. But yeah, it's a weird, like I said, not quite my favorite, but just a weird, interesting episode to talk about for sure. Stood out real hardcore. Yeah, I think that's all my notes really. Yeah, did you guys have... Oh, yeah, another one more thing. I guess this is why I was bringing up Alfred. There's another cool just camera moot thing that happens when Alfred's kind of just trying to figure out what happened to Bruce because he's not there in the morning, and he says something along the lines of, like, Batman doesn't like daylight. Like, what the hell's keeping him out there so long? And he's in the Batcave, and they don't even, like, have too much dialogue kind of explaining what's going on. He's just noticing, like, oh, the Batmobile's still here. And there's a freaking focus pool from Alfred to the the Batmobile, you know, like it goes, you know, comes into focus kind of thing. Mm. And that shit in animation always just like, I love it so much. Just seeing like camera tricks, you know, or stuff that would be in movies, you know, yeah. Like they didn't need to do that.
Well, because again, I think Hoof and I mentioned this in our previous episodes that this whole series had just like, it was on another level. Like cartoons generally didn't have like sweeping big orchestral soundtracks that went with them. It was mostly just like Casio keyboard type stuff.
This is Batman stuff. Animated series.
But yeah, it's like this is like a ton of notches above everything else. Just in, you know, it takes the Max Fleischer Supermans in the overall style, the orchestral accompaniment, and just this where they go. Like we said, this episode touches on homelessness in a serious way. It doesn't touch on it in a way like cartoons of the era would have in a more cheesy way. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel like
talks about his like unemployment. Like I'm one of Gotham's unemployed. And
yeah, well, it doesn't come off though in a cheesy way. It doesn't feel like a very special episode of Batman the Animated Series. Like it never stoops to that cheesiness level. Like it just feels like a good. It feels mature in a way that a lot of cartoons of this era did not.
Yeah,
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that it comes to mind is that something that Mike has behind the scenes sometimes is just like the kind of Batman that he wants is he wants something like less dark and gritty that is more maybe closer to Adam West. And I think that this show is the perfect amalgamation of that balance. where they walk a serious line, but they also walk a goofy line, like Alfred flying the plane. Like, there's still stuff for kids. It's like this perfect mesh for all audiences.
Without feeling like watered down, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not like we have to make this for everybody. Like, some people are going to be mad, but it's still going to work for kids and adults, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think something this does really well that is lost on a lot, like what I don't like about a lot of Batman stuff is he's like a role model, and he's like, there's like things you want to like emulate about him. And he's like a hero. He's like a superhero, but as opposed to just like a crazy person who's just like loves beating up bad guys.
Who brands
people.
Even though
he is fucking crazy, but he still like has it together at least.
Yeah, he jokes around. It's like, when you taste the prison food, you'll wish I left you behind type moment, you know?
there's just like, I mentioned it before, just like the little detail that like, oh, Bruce Wayne like volunteers at this soup kitchen, and you see him like, he's like peeling potatoes. Like, just that like, he's willing to like go there and do work. And it's like taken for a given. Like, oh yeah, I do this. Like that aspect of Batman and Bruce Wayne, I like that a lot more than stuff you get in.
I kind of felt like I got the idea. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm looking into it. I was just feeling that he owns the soup kitchen and he just shows up.
Why did you think that?
Because that's what he does. He's freaking, you know, Bruce Wayne.
I think he's just like he's going there to like help out Gotham. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. He donates probably a lot. He's bringing food and stuff in.
Importantly, though, you see him peel on the potatoes. That's my loaf of bread at the end of Fantastic Four for Dave in this episode. I was really fixated on him peeling the potatoes.
Yeah. I don't know if we I don't know if we've mentioned this on the show before, but in the past I have noted that, because if for anyone unaware, since Mike has brought it up, the Josh Trank 2015 Fantastic Four Breadgate, yes, the 2015 Fantastic Four film. There's a moment at the end of the movie after the blue laser going into the sky has been taken care of, that the government is sitting down with the Fantastic Four in like a room, in a conference room type setup.
Oh, I remember. Basically,
to talk, you know, it's like, what are we going to do with these superhumans? The whole implication is like, are we going to like lock you up or what? Because we can't just have superhumans running around. And my problem with this scene is that, with given those implications, someone in this organization thought to put a bread basket on the conference room table while they're talking to potentially world-ending superhumans. Who has the forethought to put bread on the table? I'm sorry. That's the whole genesis of what Mike was mentioning. I won't get into it any further. Maybe on a future episode. Maybe we'll do a Fantastic Four episode in the future just so we can expand on that a bit more.
We should do a whole episode on the bread.
Not even the movie, short, just the bread.
They're office Danish that they got from the conference room.
Investigating what kind of bread it
was. So in the center here, we have what clearly seems to be a poppy seed muffin, and the implications of poppy seed involved in the opium trade is clearly a metaphor for the drug use. And
these look like they're fresh cut, so someone had the forethought to cut them before the meeting.
But if you're having if let's say the Hulk disappeared and destroyed a city or something, and then you got him and you bring him in, are you going to think to put bread on the table when you're talking to him? Exactly, no. Anyway, that was the genesis for that. We won't get into it any further. Long story short, Bruce Wayne's a good dude. He goes the extra mile and peels those potatoes.
He does.
And that's where we'll leave you, folks, with this episode of Saturday Morning Apocalypse. Look at Batman, the animated series. We'll be back next time with Mike's pick.
Almost got him.
Almost got him. Yeah. See you then.
Bye.
Watch your steps.
I claim this land for Spain.